Today's shiur is Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, the last narrow line. Darish Rav Nachman Bar Chizda. Vaydik Sevet says in Pasuk, Koyam Hashem L'Mashiachai, Hashem says to Mashiach, L'Kairish, Achshasakti B'Minoi, to Kairish, whose right hand I have held. So, Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk is that Hashem is calling Kairish Mashiach. Ask the Gemara, Viki Kairich Mashiach Haya, was Kairich Mashiach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him this title? Ela Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Mashiach, Koibu Ani Lecha Al Kairish. I have to complain to you about Kairish. Ani Amati, because I have said, Hu Yivne Beisei, he'll build the Beis of Mikdash, V'yikabit Kol Yusai, and he'll be the person that will gather together all the people from Golis. V'hu Omar, but all Kairish said was, Mibachal Ha'amoy, whoever from Klal Yisrael wants, V'yol, he could go to Yerushalayim, but he does not have, but Kairish did not actively participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So since he did not actively participate, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains about him. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complaining about Kairish, why is he saying it to Mashiach? He should have said it to someone else, so what's the point? So Mefarshim explained, if Kairish would have done what was expected of him and would have built the Beis HaMikdash, would have participated actively in building the Beis HaMikdash, then Mashiach would have come, that would be the final Beis HaMikdash, and there would be no need for Mashiach to come. Because Kairish didn't seize that opportunity, the Beis HaMikdash that he started, was somewhat involved in building, the second Beis HaMikdash was ultimately destroyed, and we need to wait for Mashiach. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you Mashiach need to come, because Kairish didn't fulfill his full responsibility. The Gemara continues to discuss the word, the psukim of the Megillah. Chayel Paras Amadai HaPartumim. And the pasuk speaks about the army of Persia and the nobles. Ksiva Malchim Modei Pras. And on the other pasuk says Malchim Modei Pras. So the question, the number way the Rishonim explain the Gemara's question. One way is that first the Gemara says Paras and then Modei. In the next pasuk, it mentions Modei and then Paras. Another way, the Gemara asks, why in the first pasuk are the noblemen connected to Modei HaPartumim, Chel Paras, the army of Persia, Umodei HaPartumim, so the Partumim next to the word Modei, and the other pasuk, kings, are considered Modei. So were they kings or were they noblemen? What were they? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rava, Asnuya Asna Bahadodi. They made a stipulation with each other. Imenon Malki, if we will be the kings, Menaychu Afraichi, you will be the governors. V'menaychu Malki, and from us will come the kings, Menayin Afraichim. They Modei Pras made a deal between themselves, that each one would always have some sort of position. The Megillah continues. Baroi says, Oishik Kvay Machutsoi, as Achashverosh displayed his wealth and his royal kingdom. Omar Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, Melamed Shlovesh Bigdei Kuhuna. The Pasuk is teaching us that Achashverosh put on the Bigdei Kuhuna. Ksiv Hocha, Yukar Tferes Kedulasoi. Regarding the big dekuna, over here it says you called first the losoi. Siv hasam regarding the big dekuna, it says lechaver al svaras. So it comes to teach us that Achashverosh put on the big dekuna. Some versions of the Gemara have that he put on the big dekuna gedayla, because it's the big dekuna gedayla which it says lechaver al svaras. Because even though it does use the words lechaver al svaras regarding the begadim of the kohen hedget, that's only regarding the megbas, the hat of the kohen gadol. However, all the begadim of a kohen hedget are not called l'chavro svaras, whereas all of the begadim of a kohen gadol are called l'chavro svaras, and that's what Achashverosh did. So Mepharshim ask, if we learned in the previous Gemara that Belshazzar was punished for using the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, why wasn't Achashverosh punished for wearing the garments of the Kohen Gadol? So the Mepharshim explain that the Kedusha that is on the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash is a Kedushas HaGuf that can never be removed. And therefore, he used something which was inherently Kodesh. On the other hand, the Kedusha that is on the Big Dekuna is not that same level of Kedusha, and therefore, of course, it was inappropriate for him to use it, but it doesn't have the same degree of Aveira. The Megillah continues, when these days were finished, after Achashverosh made a banquet for the people that were living in distant lands, then he made a banquet for the people who were living in Shusha. So there's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omer Melech Pikechaya. Some say Achashverosh sold wisdom with this plan. Chad Omer Melech Tipishaya, he was foolish. Mandam Melech Pikechaya, the Mandam that says he was smart. Shapa Ovid, the carver Chikmeresha. It was a smart thing to do to make the people who live far away happy, get them to be satisfied with him. The Bnei Masei, because the people that live near him, call Amos the Bayim of Eislu. They, given that they live in such close proximity to him, he could always make them happy. They're close by. The Mandama that says he was foolish. The Bayilei Lekruvei Bnei Masei Bereisha. First, he should shore up support amongst the people who live nearby. The Bayimar de Behanach, because the people who live further away will rebel against him. Hana have a kind bad day. The people who live nearby will stand close to him and be on his side. The Iyun Yaakov explains that this machlokes really is connected to the machlokes that we discussed in the previous shir, when the Gemara says Achashverosh Hamoylech, that he became king not because of his lineage but because of himself. Was it because he was the best, greatest person, or was it only because he paid for it? The Mandama that says that he paid for it and he really wasn't worthy considers him here too a Melech Tipish who really needed to shore up support. On the other hand, the Mandama that holds that he was the most worthy person to be king, so he wasn't so necessary to shore up support, and he will hold here too that he was a Melech Pikeach. Continues the Gemara. Shaul Talmidim Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Rav Shimon ben Yochai's Talmidim asked him, "Bnei man neschai v'senem shel Yisrael shvayisudar kliya. Why did the people, why did Klai Yisrael, it's a euphemism when the Gemara says senem shel Yisrael, why did Klai Yisrael of that generation deserve to be exterminated?" And as the Bnei Yisoskar explains to us, when we look at such a Gemara, what the Gemara is teaching us is that if something happens to a person, if something bad happens to a person, he has to examine why is this happening. Amrullah, so he said to them, Imru Atem, you explain. So Mepharshim asked, here they were asking their Rebbe to explain to them why this happened. So why is he not answering them? So the Sifsei Chacham explains the Gemara that since the whole group of Talmidim approached Rav Shimon Yochai with this question, he assumed that before approaching him with this question, they had been discussing this matter amongst themselves. And they had each Talmud, or there were different opinions cited amongst themselves, and now they were coming to their Rebbe to decide what was the real reason why they deserved such a terrible punishment. Amaloi, so they said, because they went to the banquet of Achashverosh. So Mepharshim asked the obvious question. Of course, it's an Aveira to eat non-kosher food that was served at that banquet, but that shouldn't be a reason for them to be exterminated. So some explain that not only was at their banquet a problem of non-kosher food, but there were gila arayas, there was immorality going on at that wedding, and that was why they deserved extermination. Others say there was avodah zara, there was idol worship at that banquet, and that was the avera. Well, others explain, even though maybe for eating non-kosher food there is no chiyuv misa, but there was also chalev and dam served at that meal, and the punishment for eating chalev or dam is kares, and that's why they were deserving such a severe punishment. Yet another pshat is, the Gemara doesn't say neshaochlu misudasa shalarasa rasha. If they would have just eaten from that meal, they wouldn't have gotten that terrible punishment. The punishment was shenanu. They enjoyed, they took pleasure in eating something that they weren't supposed to. And that's why they were deserving a punishment. Another pshat that I saw from the Yaros Tavash is that, as the Gemara will teach us later, Achashverosh served everybody wine from their own country. And the wine that he received from Eretz Yisrael was wine from which Trumas and Maisras were obviously not removed. And if Trumas and Maisras are not removed, that could be a Chiyuv Misa, and that's why they were deserving such a terrible punishment. Asked Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Im Kain, if that was the Avera, Shebeshushin Yahargu, then the Jews living in Shushan who participated in the banquet should deserve death. Shebechol Olam Kulayal Yahargu, we know the decree of Achashverosh was for the Jews living all around the world. Why did they deserve that punishment? Amalai, so they said, Emirata, so then you explain to us why they deserve that punishment. Amalai, Neshishtachvul Etzalem, because they bow down to the image. So Rashi explains, what does the Gemara mean that they bow down to the image? It means it goes back to the time of Nebuchadnezzar, who had created an image of himself and required everybody to bow down. And the only people besides, everybody bowed down besides Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So Farshim asks a number of questions. One question that the Mashal asks is, why do we have to speak about, why does Rashi have to explain about the image that Nebuchadnezzar made? Why doesn't it say that everybody bowed down to Haman? And Haman wore an image around his neck. So some explain that only the people in Shushan bowed down to Haman. If that would be the image that the Rav Shimon ben Yochai was referring to, so we again would have the same question, since only the decree should only apply to the Jews of Shushan. Another teretz that's given is that when they bow down to Haman, even though he was wearing a tzelem around his neck, they didn't mean to bow down to the tzelem, they meant to bow down to Haman. The fact that he was wearing a tzelem didn't mean that that's what they meant, and therefore it's not considered that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah when they bowed down to Haman. But then the Yaros Tavash asks that if so, that the punishment here is because they bowed down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made, so why did it take so many years until they got the punishment? So he answers that the Medrash says that Nebuchadnezzar, on the image that he created, on this golden statue, he put on the forehead of this image the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. So Klal Yisrael said that they don't deserve punishment for bowing down to that image, because they're not bowing down to the image, they're bowing down to the tzitz. Now that might have been an acceptable explanation. But if so, that they consider that the tzitz is still holy, it didn't lose its kedusha, so then when Achashverosh made this banquet, and as we learned and will learn, he used the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash at this banquet, which they participated at, the question is, how did you drink from those vessels? You obviously hold that the kedusha of the vessels, the kedusha of the Big Day Kahuna, doesn't go away. So how did you use these vessels? Now it only became obvious that their excuse for bowing down to the image of a Nebuchadnezzar, which had the tzitz on it, was a weak explanation. It wasn't accurate. And now it turned out they deserved the terrible punishment for bowing down to that image. Amalek, so now the Talmidim ask him, V'chimas upon him yesh b'davar, so if they bow down to this image, why were they saved? Amalem heimloi also elofnim. They only did this out of fear of Nebuchadnezzar. They did not mean to serve this image. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy osimena elofnim. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu only did this and didn't intend to carry out this terrible decree. V'anikziv kiloi inam elibay. He does not afflict from his heart. Only if they really meant to do the Avera will they deserve the punishment. So Farshim explained that even though normally by Avodah Zorah HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitztarf machshava ro l'maisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes in consideration their bare thoughts, that their intention to serve the Avodah Zorah, and that's why Avodah Zorah is a more serious Avera than any other Avera. Here, when they said that that's not, they never had the machshava ra, Avodah Zorah is not considered a more significant Avera, and that's why they were ultimately spared. The Mefarshim point out that this dialogue in the Gemara is the basis for two halachas that we do on Purim. One is that the Ramah says that the minig is that on Purim we put on costumes, we disguise ourselves. Why? Explains the Sifsei Chachamim. Since, as we learned now, what they did was really not true, it was a disguise. They really did not want to serve Avodah Zorah. It was just that they showed as if they were serving Avodah Zorah. So too, in Purim, we go in costume and disguise. Another interesting pshat that I saw from the Sheiris Yaakov is that the minig of Shalach Manis of Purim is also based on this Gemara. Because what happened here was they saw that their fellow Jews were serving Avodah Zorah. If somebody worships Avodah Zorah, certainly you're not allowed to eat food from his home. But now that it became evident at the end of the Megillah that they really never meant to worship the Avodah Zorah, they only did it because they were scared of Nebuchadnezzar or Achashverosh. So therefore, ultimately, they were all vindicated as never having done anything wrong, and they were allowed to eat food one from the other. And that's why the Mefarshim say, Dafka for Shalach Manos should be sent meat and wine. Because certainly wine from somebody who's serving, who may be worshipping Avodah Zorah, is prohibited. And so too, meat from somebody who may be serving Avodah Zorah is prohibited because his shechita is unacceptable. Here, they showed that they never really wiped their Avodah Zorah, and the meat and wine is acceptable, and that's why each person sent to each other meat and wine that we now eat to show that we trust them. The Megillah continues saying about this banquet, it was Bechatzar Ginas Pisan HaMelech. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel is Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, how to explain this pasuk. Chanam Aroy Lechotzer Lechotzer, a person, so everybody was sat according to their status. Some people were sat in the courtyard, Aroy Legina Legina, other people were told to sit in the garden, and Aroy Lebis Lebis, and other people were told to sit in the palace. V'charam HaChashivim Lechotzer Lechotzer. They were first asked all to sit in the courtyard, but there wasn't enough room. So the overflow went into the garden. There wasn't enough room. Until they were also brought into the palace, and now there was enough room for all of them. In the Braisa we learned, they were all told to sit in the chatzar, and then two doors were opened up for them. One to the garden and one to the palace. Everybody was told to sit where they felt most comfortable. The Megillah continues in saying, Chor karpas uschelis. My chor, what is chor? Says Rav Amma Chori Chori. They were tapestries made by needlework, and when it's made with needlework, it has holes in it. That's why it's called Chori Chori. V'shmul Amma Milas Levona Tzilehem. A white wool was spread out for them. The Gra tells us that why does the Megillah go through such great length at telling us all of the various different tapestries that they had, etc. Because says the Gra, whatever wonderful things that they had at this banquet, certainly we now will see what wonderful things we will have by in Olam Haba. Another pshat that I saw is that Achashverosh's entire intention at this banquet was to trip up the Jews. So what he did was he made these beautiful tapestries that everybody should want to sit on, but he made them out of shatness, and that they should now be over the aveira of shatness. Karpas, Amrav Yishma Chanina, Karm Shapasim, cushions of fine wool. Aglile Kesev, Vamude Shesh, Mitoi Zav Kesev, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haroyal Kesev Kesev, a person of not such a high status sat on silver couches, Haroyal Zav Sav, higher status sat on gold. Omer Nechemya, said Reb Nechemya, Imken Atamatel Kinem Besuda, you're going to cause jealousy. Everybody's going to look, I don't have such a nice couch like my associate. Ella, Hemsha Kesef, all of the couches were made out of silver, for a glaim shows off, and the legs were made out of gold. So ask Taisvis, according to the Manda Omer that we just learned in the previous Gemara, that they were also sat in the Chotzer and the Bison and the Gina, according to the status, what's going to be, how are we going to resolve the issue of Atamatl Kinabasuda? Answers Taisvis, the people who were sitting in different areas didn't see each other. So since they didn't see each other, there wasn't concern that they'll be jealous one of each other, because I don't see the person, I can't be jealous of him. Here, however, they were all sitting together according to Reb Yehuda, and there's a concern for jealousy. So how does Reb Yehuda defend his position according to what Reb Nechemya said? So Ben Yoyad explains very nicely. He says, whenever we have a room where people are sitting in, there's a nicer spot where to sit and not such a nice spot. So how could we can't have everybody get a seat in the best location. So what did Achashverosh do to compensate? What he did was like this. A person who got a better location got a not such expensive couch. And a person who got a weaker location, let's say by the door, got a more expensive couch. So like that, everybody was compensated for what one was missing, the other thing had. Mefarshim explained, what's the point of having silver legs? The couch was silver and the legs were made out of gold. So one shot is that gold is a stronger metal than silver. So they made the legs out of gold that should give proper support to the couch. Another pshat is that the couch was covered with tapestries. So whatever metal it was made out of was covered anyway. So that's why they only used silver. But the legs were visible. That's why he made gold legs. The Morel explains this homiletically. From here we see that the legs are more important than the couch. The legs representing one's foundation. It's important that everyone have a very strong foundation, a strong chinuch, because then he will be able to be prepared and act properly for the rest of his life. Bat v'sheish, the couches were made bat v'sheish, on Rav Asi, avonim sh'mischoyte toitzal ba'layim. The floor was paved with stones that the owners have to seek, that not easily obtained. Stones of a crone that are only obtainable after looking over the entire land to find it. There were rows and rows of these precious stones. There's a very precious stone in the islands. Hashiva b'emtza suda. He put it down in the middle of the meal. Omir lehem k'tzarayim, and it gave a flight like in the middle of the day. And as the Sifsei Chacham explains that that a person enjoys his meal much more when he eats in a room which is properly illuminated. That's why they put down the stone that gave off this illumination, that the people should enjoy the meal. Another pshat is, again, going back to what we spoke about a moment ago, this stone, the light was in the middle of the room, so not everybody sat next to the light, so it's not fair. A person who's not sitting next to the light won't have such an illumination properly lighted. So that's why the Gemara says that he made a very big stone that gave off a lot of illumination was put into the banquet hall, and no matter where you sat, you had enough light. The very small tana shakara draw called al ischira. There was a week of a tax abatement. There was no tax that week. But first, I'll explain why. Two pshatim I saw. One pshat is that the Sifsei Chacham says this pshatim. One pshat is that he wanted everybody to enjoy the banquet. So if a person always has in his head that he still has to pay taxes, he won't really enjoy the banquet. But if this week he knows there's a tax relief, so then he'll be able to truly enjoy the banquet, which was what Achashverosh wanted. Another pshat is, here we're learning what a lavish, expensive banquet Achashverosh made. But Achashverosh wanted to show his great wealth, and he's saying, even though I'm throwing and making this beautiful banquet, don't think that I can't afford it and I'm going to have to raise taxes. On the contrary, I could afford these taxes. I could afford this meal without raising taxes. On the contrary, I could even give a tax abatement. The hashkas b'klizov for kelim mekelim shoinim meshunim meboilei. It should have been different, not shoinim. Amar Rava yotz baskel va'osu v'arm lehem. Rishonim kolim nekelim. The Belshetzer died because he used the kelim of the base of Mikdash. V'ata shoinim behem, and you're repeating the mistake of using those kelim. So the question is, so why did Belshetzer deserve death and not Achashverosh? So Mefarshim explained, because Ubo Pritzim v'chileluha. The Pritzim, the Belshetzer, had defiled the Kalim, and therefore they don't anymore have their Kedusha on it, and therefore they could be, again, they could be used without such a severe punishment. V'yei Malchus Rav. Everybody got wine that was greater than him in years, because that the older a person is, the more he enjoys old wine. V'shti kadas ein oynis. My kadas, what does that mean? According to the law of Torah, madash Torah, just like the Torah tells us, achila meruba mishtiya, a person is supposed to eat more than he drinks, for as we find on the kabbonis that are brought in the Mizbeach, there's much more meat and flour brought with every carbon versus the nesachim, the wine we brought with the kabbonis. Af sudas v'shalayis rasha, so too by the meal of that rasha, achilam rubim mishteya, there was more food than drink. But explains Tosfos that the Gemara Masechta Nida says that even though you're supposed to, as we're learning now, eat more than drink, a person must drink an adequate amount at every meal, otherwise it will affect his bones. I saw a very nice pshat on the pasuk Vashtiya Kedos Ein Oynis. As we have already referred to, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos that Peiches teaches us that Klal Yisrael, when they received the Torah Har Sinai, it was kaf aleim har kigigus. They were forced, so to speak, to receive the Torah. But by hoda kiblu, kimu v'kiblu, as we explained, in the time of Achashverosh, they were mekabelit b'ahava. They accepted the Torah with love, not forced. Vashtiya, on Purim, the halacha is one kadas. The rule is one must drink. Why is there a halacha that one must drink on Purim? Why is there the halacha that one should be besimcha on Purim? Because ein einus, we no longer are under the category that we accept the Torah by einus, that we were forced. It's ein einus. We're doing it from love. That's the reason for shtiyah kados, that a person should and truly enjoy and consider Purim as a real yontif. Ein einis, Amar Belazim, Milam Shkol Echav Echad, Hishgeyu Miyayim Adinosai. Everybody got wine from his own country. So the Pashup Shad in the Gemara, the Mepharshim explain, is that Achashverosh wanted everybody to enjoy the meal, and if he'll have wine that he's not accustomed to, so he really won't know how much wine to drink. It might be too much, it might be too little. If it's wine that he's accustomed to, we won't have, he'll be comfortable with the wine that he receives. But I saw another pshat. Achashverosh, as we've explained, wanted Klal Yisrael to do averus at this banquet. But if he'll give them wine that they're not accustomed to, they'll drink too much wine and become drunk, and then if they do something inappropriate, they have an excuse that they were intoxicated. So he especially gave them a shtika das ein oines, wine that they won't get drunk. So when they do an avera, it will be with full knowledge, and that's what Achashverosh's intentions were. Last is kritzoyin ish v'ish, to do according to everyone's will. Amar Rav Lasitz Kritzoyin Mordechai v'Haman. Mordechai v'Haman were the people and taking care of the liquor and the wine at this banquet. Mordechai is called Ish, because Ish Yehudi, and Haman is called Ish because he's called Ish Tzar v'Ayif. Continues the Megillah. Gam Vashti Amalka also mishta noshim beis Hamalkas. She also made a banquet in the king's home. Ask the Gemara beis Noshim Rebellion. Shouldn't she say that it was made in her home for where the women were? Amar Rava, Shnei Ledvar Verin Eskavnum. Yes, Vashti should have made the meal in her own chambers. But she specifically brought the women into the chambers where the men were, so that there should be a mingling of the men and women, that they should come to do Aveira. Hayadamar Inchi, and that's what people say. Iyu Bekari, he is with large pumpkins. Vitase Bebetzini, and she with small pumpkins. They both had the same intention. On the seventh day when the king was thinking, was ready, merry with wine. Until now he hadn't been drinking wine. The seventh day was on Shabbos. On Shabbos, they eat and drink, and as soon as they eat and drink, what Jews do, they say the Torah and they sing Zmiris. And in fact, from here, some Paiskim point out that at the beginning of a meal, one should say Divrei Torah. And there's a minig, in fact, Friday night at the meal, some people before Kiddush say a mimer from the Zohar to begin the meal, as our Gemara teaches us, with Divrei Torah. Avloiv de kechavim, sha'oitzchen, as they eat and drink, to begin dealing with indecent manners. It came to Russia. That's actually what happened at that banquet. Halal Amr, a big debate began between the various people sitting at this meal. Halal Amr, some say the women from Mada are the most beautiful. The women from Parsi are the most beautiful. Amr Achashverosh says, Klisha Anim Shtamishpo, my wife, ain't a loy Madi v'loy Parsi, is not from Madi or Parsi, ela Kazdi. She's from Kazdi, and she's the most beautiful. Ritzoinchem l'roysoi, do you wish to see her? Amloyin, so they said yes. Avachite ruma, but she's not supposed to be wearing any clothing. What was the intention with that? So they said, of course, she was, she could be beautiful. She could be beautiful because she has expensive jewelry and she has expensive clothing. Let's see her without the clothing and without the jewelry, and let's still see if they're still so she's still beautiful. According to the way a person acts, that's what happens to them. She used to bring Jewish girls and undress them, and make them work on Shabbos. When Achashverosh's anger calmed down, remember what Vashti did and what was decreed in her. What she did was decreed in her. As the Mashal explains, What the pasuk really should have said is Vasa Shaloyasasa, what she didn't do, that she refused to come when Achashverosh called her. What does it say, Vasa Shaloyasasa? To teach us that she was punished for what she did, that she used to mistreat the Jewish girls in such a way. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out, similar to what we spoke about at the beginning of this year, he says Vashti was deserving a terrible punishment for the way she treated the Jewish girls, but it had nothing to do specifically that she should be punished on Shabbos. Why was she punished on Shabbos? Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Again, from here we see how we want, how everything that happens is supposed to be something for us to examine and analyze. Why did it happen? So Vashti was punished on Shabbos. It will cause us to realize that everything is with very great cheshbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it with a very clear reason to cause us to understand how we should be held, to how we should behave. But tomorrow on Malki Vashti refused to come. Michti asked the Gemara, let's understand. She was certainly an immoral woman. Damashmar, as we just learned, Shneim Ledvaravei and Niskavnu. They both had immoral intentions. So my tamalayosi, so why didn't she want to come? Amar Rabbi Yosef Mechanina, Melam Shaparchu Batsaras. Tsaras formed on her, and she was embarrassed to come. Masnesatani, Ba Gavriel Vassal Azonov, Gavriel made her a tail, and that's why she was embarrassed to come. Yiktsav HaMelech Ma'od, the pasuk says the king got very angry. Amai Dolka by Kulahai, why was he so angry? Amar Rava, Sholchalei, she sent him the following message. Bar Ahurayu the Abba, the stable boy of my father Balshetzer. Abel Kabel Alpha Cham Rishasiv Rava. My father would drink the equivalent of what 1,000 people drink and would not get drunk. Hu Gavri Ishtatu B'chamri, but you get drunk when you drink wine. Yad V'chamosai Barabai. He immediately got angry. So I saw a beautiful verse from the Gra. The pasuk says, V'yiktsoif HaMelech Ma'oid V'chamosai Barabai. So the Gra asks two questions. One question is, isn't this a redundancy? V'yiktsoif HaMelech Ma'oid, he got angry. V'chamosai Barabai, and he's angry. What's pshat in the redundancy? Another question that the Gra asks is, V'yiktsoif represents an anger that's shown. Chamasa Barabai represents an anger that one keeps inside. So usually, says the Gra, once one is showing his anger, his internal anger subsides. So why here is it still V'yiktsoif HaMelech Ma'oid, even though he's showing his anger, it's still Chamasa Barabai, he's still angry inside? Explains the Gra that Achashverosh was upset for two reasons. One is because Vashti had publicly embarrassed him by refusing to come to when he had called her. And the second thing was that she had embarrassed him with the message that she sent him, you stable boy, you can't hold your wine. So V'yiktsoif HaMelech Ma'oid, the king was angry publicly for the public embarrassment that Vashti had caused him. V'chamosoi Barabai, and he was angry internally for the private embarrassment that she had caused him when she embarrassed him with that message that she sent him. V'yom HaMelech Chacham, so the king speaks to the wise people. Ma'chacham, who are they? The Rabbonim. Yodei Ha'itim, what's Pshat Yodei Ha'itim? Says the Gemara, Shiyodim La'aber Shana Ulkvay Chadoshim. They're the people that know when to make a leap year and when to make a month longer. Amlu Dayin Elai. They told her, judge Vashti for what she did. Amru. So they said to themselves, Heichi Navid, exactly what should we do here? Namely, Kotli, should we tell him to kill her? Lamacha Pasuk Leichamri. The next day, he'll sober up. Or Bailamanon, he'll ask, where's my wife? Namela Shafka, on the other hand, should we tell her to let her go unpunished? Kamazazla b'malchusa, he'll be upset that we're not treating his position properly. Omala, Yaim Shachar Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Galina Matzena were in Golis, Nitl Eitz Mimenu, we don't have the ability to paskin, to decide these difficult questions. We can't judge matters of life and death. Zilgaba Amun Moyev. Go to Amun Moyev, the Yasvah to Tayu, that they're still settled in their places. Kechamer the Yasvah to Tayu. Like wine that sits on its sediment, which is very good wine. So it's appropriate that they should be the people you should go to. The Tam Amrlay. And they told him a reason. Tiksiv Shanan Menurov, the Shokar Hashmarov. Moyev is at ease from his youth. He's settled on a sediment. He hasn't been poured from vessel to vessel. He has not gone into exile. That's why his taste is so good. And his smell, his good scent hasn't changed. Tysus points out that even though at the beginning the Gemara refers to Ammon and Moyev, it's really Moyev that never was taken into Golus. Tysus proves that Ammon was taken into Golus. Furthermore, the Mepharshim try to understand why, because the Chachamim are able to understand when the cycle of the moon and the sun, are they the people that Achashverosh asked to judge in this situation? So one pshat I saw is that Achashverosh understood that this decision will have repercussions into the future. And he wanted people who are able to understand when the future, when the calendar will look like in 20 years from now, they're people that understand the future, they're the most appropriate people to ask the question. But I saw another pshat from the Yarif Tavash, actually. The Yarif Tavash says that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally created the world, the moon and the sun were the same size. And the moon came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, we can't have them both of us at the same size. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the moon, you should become smaller. Says the Yarish Tavash. Vashti considered her relationship with Achashverosh as a partnership. Given that she was the daughter of Belshazzar, she figured that she wasn't just a regular queen. She was a partner with Achashverosh. So Achashverosh went and called the people who recognize that you can't have two equal partners, just like you can't have the sun and the moon at the same size, to prove that Vashti is not an equal partner. Miyad, the carvel of Kashna Shesa at Moses Arshas. Amr, Rebelevi, Kopos, Exel, Kabonis, Nema. The entire Pasuk speaks to Kabonis. Kashna, Amalam, Lachasharas, Lufne, Kodesh, Baruch, Banishlam, Klur, Mekrivel, Fenecha, Karm, Bnei, Shana. Did the Goyim ever bring to you lambs that are a year old? Kederach shekriv yisrael fenecha, which these are the carbonas, these are the animals that are brought every day as a carbon tamid. Sheser, klum herivil fenecha shtei tarim, do they bring two turtle doves, which many carbonas are made out of? Admasim, klum bonal fenecha mizbeach adoma, do they build a mizbeach out of earth? Tashish, klum shimshul fenecha mizbeach dekuna, that they serve with the kuna, the ksipa, tashish, shayim, v'yishpeim, these are the stones that are used in the ephod. So I saw a beautiful pshat. Why from all the stones, says the Meshech Chochma, did they pick out the tashish? Because tashish was the stone of Shevet Asher. And the daughters of Asher were the women that were married to the Kohanim. Meres, klamursu, medamu fenecha, that they stir blood. Marsna klamursum menachsel fanecha, that they stir the kabam mincha that they brought for you. Muchim klam hechinul shochel fanecha, that they prepare a table for you. And this the Mepharshim explains the reason why on Purim we have a table full of delicacies, food and drink, because Memuchan, as we're going to learn in a moment, is Haman. And Haman was the one that represented, spoke about the table that Klai Yisrael has. So on Purim we make a table. And the same Pshat Ksav Sefer, that's why we make a Suda, because the Megillah begins speaking about the banquet of Achashverosh. So we in our homes on Purim make banquets. V'yom HaMuchan, so Megillah says that V'yom HaMuchan, Tanim HaMuchan Zahomin. V'lom Nikosh HaMuchan, Shemuchan HaPuranius, who is destined for punishment. Arach Ganam, Mikan Shehejit Kaifet Parayish. The smallest person jumps to the front. In the pasuk before, where the seven chachamim are listed, Memuchan is listed as the last one, and he's the one that speaks first. So Achashverosh sent messengers. Liish kalis sarve beisai. Every man should rule in his house. Amar Rava. Emalei igaris harishonis shlonishtaim esreinim sheyisrael sarapelot. If not for this letter that Achashverosh sent out, there would be nobody left from Klai Yisrael. Amri, because people said, "My hand is shod alone. What's this king saying? A message? Liz called Isar Bebeisai. Pshit, that's obvious. A fil karch Bebeisai. Even a weaver, Pardash Chilahavi, in his own house, he's the man of authority." So they started to not respect and pay attention to edicts that he sent out, and that's why they didn't pay attention when he sent out an edict that Klai Yisrael should be exterminated. V'yafgir Melech Pekidim, and the king appointed officers to gather women. Amar Rav, Ma'idik Siv, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Kol Orem Yasa V'das, a smart person, a prudent person, acts with knowledge, Uksil Yafish Evos, but a fool shows off his foolishness. Kol Orem Yasa V'das, a David. As David got old, his servants suggest that he they find from Nara, a young woman, Nara Basula, whoever had a daughter, Isanele, brought her to the David, choose my daughter. Ksil Yifrish Avlas Akhshverish, Tiksiv, the Yafkir Melech Bekidim, command Avle Barate, whoever had a daughter, Itmarine, hit her from Akhshverish. So Mefarshim explain what's the difference between David and Achashverosh. A few differences. David never said that the girl should be beautiful. Achashverosh wanted that they should be beautiful. David only was looking for one specific woman. One woman. Achashverosh wanted all the women to be gathered, as we'll discuss in the next year. And also, David didn't force anybody to do anything. It was all voluntary. Achashverosh, on the other hand, v'yachpikei ha-melech pekidim, sent officers. It was done under duress. That's why nobody wanted to participate in Achashverosh's project. Everybody, however, did want to participate with David, that their daughter should be destined for David.